The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Let the beardstruggle.com cream all over your beard.
What?
With the Beard Struggle's all new beard cream.
Oh, thank God.
Now everybody can get nice and creamy.
I think what he means to say is that with ingredients like glycerin and shea butter, avocado, and jojoba oils, it's perfect for everyone, anytime.
Night, day, hot, cold. You're going to get that cream.
Okay. And hyaluronic acid ensures deep hydration without the grease for a long beard or just some scruff.
Creamy scruff without the grease.
Dude, gotta stop. And as always, use our exclusive discount code TORTURE19 and take up to 19% off at checkout.
Getting creamy and taking it off.
Okay, we need to end this. TheBeardStruggle.com. Do what's right for your beard. Do what's right for your face.
Sort your sexy, creamy fucking beard out.
Oh, boy. The subject of today's episode is a method of execution that could take days, if not weeks, to complete. Starting off sticky sweet and ending in pure grotesqueness, we'll go back about 2,400 years to what is now modern-day Iran to witness one of the most devious and disgusting death sentences a person can receive. And we'll hear how one man, allegedly, was given that sentence all because he couldn't hold his liquor and keep his fucking mouth shut. But at least he finally gets to spend some time on that boat, like we've all been looking forward to, even if he does shit himself the entire time. Today, we give you Scafism. I'm Kevin Young.
Hello, I'm Mr. Plow. Are you tired of having your hands cut off by snowblowers and the inevitable heart attacks that come with shoveling snow? Call me Klondike 53226. Mr. Plow, that's my name. That name again. It's Mr. Plow.
Mr. Plow, that name again.
Is Mr. Plow.
And this is torture.
John Q, driveway has our number. Just sit back and play the waiting game.
Klondike 5. That wasn't even the funniest part about that wasn't even a time where you would use Klondike 5, whatever, for
5-3-2-6.
A telephone number anymore.
I don't even know what the fuck that shit is. So
that was something they used back in like the 50s. 60s.
Right. That joke would have got that part of the joke would have gone well over our heads because we wouldn't know what that is. So
you picked up the phone and immediately an operator was there. Okay, so operator, give me Klondike 56335, and they connect you to a person. I don't know if that's the street address they're connecting you to. I never understood why. That's how it was, but every Abbott and Costello bit told me that that's what you did.
All right.
Fair enough.
It's Klondike 53226. Execute order, Klondike 53226. Release the snow powers.
Well, Dan, how you doing, man? What's going up? Been up to?
Been good. Working. Stressing out. You know, mood.
Yeah.
On the horizon.
Yeah. I was getting the daily updates to your stress.
Fuck
out.
This shit. Fuck this shit.
So let me tell you what's going on today.
Yeah.
He's like, oh boy.
Yeah.
This is too long to type out. I'm just going to send you a voicemail.
Yeah, I forgot to type. Yeah.
It's like a 6-minute long voicemail. Yeah.
That's because I ramble, like, though. That's because I always fucking ramble. It's funny because I'd actually sent one to a friend of mine the other day about something that was guitar related. He sent something on to me and I was like, oh, I'm just going to respond with a voice message thing. Even though I actually fucking hate them, but I just, depends on what I'm doing. Like, I mean, like, I was outside my break and work at the time, and I was like, I'm not sitting here typing though. And I was rambling, and I realized I was rambling, as I have a tendency to do, and I'm starting to be more cognizant of it now and trying to not do it. So I ended up just stopping and deleting the message. So I was like, I'm going to send it again, but not ramble. And then I realized I was rambling more. So I was like, oh, no! So we stopped. It's like, damn,
still
you
rambling about rambling.
Yeah. It's like, I know I'm rambling right now, but I'm gonna ramble.
I was gonna send you a message earlier, but I was rambling. And here's the thing about rambling that I don't like. You go into an 8-minute diatribe of why you hate rambling.
Keep rambling, 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 rambling. Keep rambling.
Oh, fuck.
Anything new with you?
No, it's the same shit as ever. Holy fuck, there is a spider on my wall that I am going to have to kill before I can move on with my life.
Look at this guy trying to show off about having a spider. Look at this. Fancy American house. Oh, yeah, a spider in my house. On my wall. Oh, I had a spider in my house.
I might still have a spider in my house. I forgot that this thing that I hit it with has little feet on it. So it didn't get flat. So it fell. I don't know where. And now I will live in terror for the rest of the time I am out here.
See, he was picking up a frying pan, smacking it, and turning back out. Damn it, I forgot about this frying pan with the spider-shaped hole in the bottom of it.
Exactly. Oh, man. So I'm at this was a couple years ago. I'm at the gym. And our gym is not in the woods, but it's out on the outskirts of town where there's a lot of fields and shit.
Right.
And we get bugs and spiders in there every once in a while. So I do a set and I get up and I walk around in a circle a couple times and I sit down and do a set, And I don't ever wear my glasses on in the gym ever. You sweat and they start to slide off. So I can't see very well without the glasses. I wear them, and
usually,
I just see like little dots of stuff on the floor, like you normally would. And I see one. I've walked by probably 5 or 6 times, and then all of a sudden it starts moving. I'm like, "Holy fucking shit!" And it was a big dot. It was a wolf spider, about fucking that big around. I was like, right. God damn it. So I take a 45-pound plate and I throw it at it. I'm alone in the gym. There's nobody else there. It's like 4:30 or something like that. I throw it and the fucking thing lands the hole in it right on top of the fucking spider. So now it's just the spider inside this weight. Like, the fuck is going on? It's like, God damn it, are you serious?
You're trapped in a glass case of emotion.
So then I gotta go get like a barbell and put it in the middle of it and squish the fucking thing. God.
Most elaborate spider killing ever.
I built a whole weight mechanism to kill this one spider. You'll see it, man. We'll be in there. There was one that was like me and 3 other guys, and there was a spider that just kind of popped up out of nowhere. It's kind of laying on the floor, and you saw everybody like get to that stop, turn, and walk the other way. None of us wanted to. 4 big old muscle men guys in there working out, and none of us want to go near this fucking spider.
I'd be the same.
Yeah, it's, yeah, fuck that. They're, yeah, no.
I'm gonna keep.
I don't mind them as long as they're you know, the size of, you know, what an average spider should be, which is very small, as far as I'm concerned. You know,
that's the thing. I mean, some of those average spiders can be can do some damage.
Should we? Our cats always eat the spiders, like except there was one I remember was a fairly big boy, and we usually just go to call Sooty, like, Sooty, come here, and he come running because he knows, well, it's like for a spider or a fly or whatever, and I'd be picking him up and getting him or whatever, like, or else he got running around hunting him and stuff, and there's this big bastard. We called him in and he walks up, looks at him, gone. He's like, I'm not fucking, I'm touching him.
Nope. Oh, that's
funny. Hey, you. You all right? Good. Yeah.
Still in a box.
Yeah. Nah. But anyway. So what are we talking about today?
Escapism.
Escapism.
All right. Well, then I guess we should go do it. Should hopefully be a short one. I didn't want to do a super long episode since everybody just had to sit through 4 hours of Attica. Pretty much. Yeah, we'll keep this one short and sweet and kind of gross. So, Dan, let's take you back to around 400 BCE Persia. You are currently lying in a boat with another boat capsized on top of that one, with your head and extremities exposed, a putrid stench emanating from the canoe-sized vessel. Just days after being found guilty of treason, your belly is filled to the brim and your face is covered in a sweet, sticky goo as the executioner walks away.
Sounds like a good Friday. Nice. My face is stuck in a, is covered in a sweet, sticky goo, apparently, honey. Yeah. Don't you look at me like that. Love you.
The executioner walks away, leaving your body floating in the makeshift coffin as your impending doom begins to swarm over you in just the beginning moments of your long, drawn-out execution. This is the torture of scaphism.
Of the facial.
I knew when I wrote that, I was like, I'm going to have to wait a second and let him react. Because I know he's going to. Now, historians aren't exactly clear on what crimes would warrant the punishment of scaphism. Most texts just say severe crimes. But in any case, it plays out pretty much the same. First, you are stripped naked. Of course. I mean,
yeah, why not? Could you not be?
Yeah. Then you lie on your back in a small boat. Then another boat of the same dimension is placed on top of that one, and they are nailed together. Now, there are holes cut for your head, hands, and feet to protrude from the boats, exposing them to the elements. And the executioner will then feed you a large amount of a mixture of milk and honey. Now, if you refuse to eat, it was said that the executioner would begin to stab your eyes with needles until you opened your mouth to scream. I'm not going to eat it. I'm going to stab you in the eye. Yeah. Okay, fine. Fuck.
You think about it, a needle back then isn't quite as fine as a needle now.
Either. Yeah, that, no.
That's like a pencil.
Yeah. Like, you just sit there, nowadays, I'm going to stab you with the needle. You're like, that'll be okay. And then they pull out a fucking machete.
Yeah. It's like a kebab skewer.
This is 100% horse bone, don't you know? Yeah. Poo, poo.
Oh,
then they would force you, they would force feed you the slurry until your belly distended. Now, there are three specific reasons why they fed you ungodly amounts of milk and honey. One, Milk and honey are not nutritious enough to live off of long term. Honey has vitamin A and B12, but nothing substantial enough to survive off of. And milk is a good hydrator, but not as good as plain old water. It has vitamin D, calcium, protein, saturated fat, about 85% of the amount of sodium you should have in a day, but it lacks all other nutrients to keep you alive for months or years. The two, however, are balanced enough to keep you sustained for a couple weeks, just
unless
long enough for
baby.
The punishment to take its course. Yeah, so when I say long and drawn out, I'm not talking about a few days. It's going to go on for a while.
Nice.
Now, milk.
Keep that.
Could you make it as slow and horrible as possible? Yes, we can. Have a new way. The second, milk and honey will make you shit. A lot.
I was actually going to say, imagine some poor lactose intolerant fucker back then be like, yeah, sitting there, I'd be like, hey, do you want me to turn on the bubbles? Fucking water just going crazy behind him.
Oh, do you have that in almond milk? Oat? Rice, maybe?
God,
no, according to the World Population Review, about 88% of adults in Iran today are lactose intolerant. Now, the number was probably much higher in the 5th century BCE because at that point, humans have only evolved the ability to consume lactose maybe 2,000 years earlier. And the way evolution works is only people that benefit from the specific evolution really pass it on. So if you didn't live in an area where lactose tolerance was the difference between life and death, there's a chance your ancestors didn't have that gene. Anyways, milk, which is hard to digest properly, was mixed with honey, which is high in FODMAPs, or fermentable...
Flurp. Giddy giddy burp.
We do this. We have this fucking dance, me and words, every couple of weeks where I go over them over and over to where I'm like, I could say this in my sleep. And then I hit record and I go,
herb, flurp, garbaline. You got this, Kevin.
Oligosaccharides, disaccharides, monosaccharides, and polyols, which are short-chain carbohydrates that the small intestines have difficulty absorbing. And with its high fructose content leading to improper absorption, a common outcome of these two substances being the only food or water you take in would be massive, liquidy diarrhea. I know how to say that one.
Nice.
The third reason, milk and honey both contain large amounts of sugar. And while feeding you, the executioner would be sure to spill plenty all over your face, leaving it there to dry out in the hot mid-east sun.
Are you sure we're doing not doing a different kind of torture podcast here now at this stage? Like, it's
swinging back around to that media set.
Let's get all 50 shades up in here.
Have to call Sam and have him come back on here.
No.
Remember when we were talking about the birds and the bees? Come back here. Yeah. Let me talk to you some more.
Well,
and this milk and honey thing wasn't a one-day thing. The executioner would show up day after day to make sure that you stayed full of and covered in milk and honey. The diarrhea getting worse and worse. I mean, a couple days in, the only substance you've had in your body for like 48, 72 hours is only milk and honey. So it's going to get really gross here.
Mental note there now, if you ever want to clear out the old passages, milk and honey,
milk and honey,
milk and honey.
You and spill a little bit on your face. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. To start throwing the sugar at yourself.
So there the victim lays, their belly full of milk and honey, face covered in milk and honey. And after a couple hours, the boat probably has at least one helping of their creamy shits. That's when the insects arrive. Bees and wasps would show up to eat the sweet sugars off their face. They would breathe and scream. The bees, even more so the wasps, would begin to sting, causing untold pain and suffering, especially if you were allergic. And then there are the ants, like the sacred carpenter ant, large, aggressive, and have strong, painful bite. But then the worst, most... sorry.
The antelope.
The worst...
The majestic antelope appears on the water.
It just pops its head up.
Yeah. La, 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 la.
Tongue sticking out.
Yeah.
I smell milk and honey. Some guy named Bob, who hasn't shit in a week, come up. Oh, he's going to lick all the milk and honey off your face.
God. Just so we can poop. I immediately got an image of Cartman. I said, that's so good. Yeah.
Shoot all the wasps away. Get away, wasps!
Yeah.
My milk and honey. Now, the worst most of these particular insects will do is bite you or sting you if annoyed or scared. However, the one you really need to worry about is the fly. The flies will be attracted mostly to the loads of excrement in the boat. Some flies, like the bot fly or the flesh fly, can smell shit from up to 4 miles away. So it's safe to say that within hours, the victim could expect to see hundreds of flies. The main thing that flies do that the other insects don't is flies will lay their eggs on human flesh. And in the shit. It only takes 7 to 24 hours for a fly egg to turn into fly larva. And the better the food source, the bigger and more active the maggots. Now, it would be safe to say that while laying in your own feces, getting bitten by all manner of insects and other possible small animals that happen into the boat, that you will have developed open sores. Your legs, ass, genitals, and rectum, probably the main areas for open wounds, would be a virtual bat signal for the wriggling little grubs to come get a good meal. And they would feast on any dead or dying flesh.
Sounds lovely.
Now, this in controlled environments can be beneficial. The medical profession has used maggots for centuries to treat wounds, especially ulcers and non-healing wounds, through a process called maggot therapy. Maggots are placed on a wound in a bandage and left to eat for a few days. They eat the dead tissue, bacteria, and biofilm, or a slimy mix of bacteria and other organisms that can make wounds difficult to heal. Maggots also secrete enzymes that turn dead tissue into liquid, and they have about a 70% success rate of cleaning wounds of infection.
Dr. Maggot.
Problem is, with maggots, is that the more and more of your flesh that dies away, the maggots will continue to eat for days at a time. And there are flesh flies that normally don't bite humans, but will infest wounds. And their larvae can even burrow through wounds into healthy flesh. It's a process known as miasis. Not to mention...
miasis.
Miasis. You got flies in your belly. Miasis, I do. Now, not to mention any small amphibians or reptiles that might sneak into the boat to feed on the insects and, well, you. Plus, rats, Go listen to our Rats episode for more of those little murder machines. But
that's the best one.
You probably probably get some rats in there, some mice, squirrels hiding nuts where you don't want, in your nuts. Who knows? Just anything.
There's no room for Jesus in there, is there?
Brazen bull. Anything that you would find in like a swampy pond area is going to be making its way into that boat. And once it gets into the boat,
wasn't a swampy pond area before. It will be after day two, anyway.
Swampy pond area there. Ripe. Swampy pond area in here. So pretty much anything that's wriggling around is going to go in that boat and then right up inside you.
So, like the average Friday night.
That's right. Now, after possibly weeks of sun exposure, dehydration, and being eaten alive by insects and their larvae, crawling through their wounds and their intestinal tracts, the victim will finally pass. It was also said that this could have been done in the trunk of a hollowed-out tree. It seems like it could even be worse since there are tons of ants and spiders and rodents in trees already. But instead of sticking you in a boat...
What did your microphone ever do to you, Kevin?
The whole microphone just fell over.
You've seen it, people who can't see because you're not paying for the Patreon. Pay for the Patreon. wouldn't have seen Kevin just completely backhanded, pimp slapped his...
Beat the fuck out of
him. Get the fuck!
but anyway, just like a tree trunk broken off coming out of the swamp, just shoving somebody down in there, cramming them in there, and leaving them there to just whatever comes, covered them in milk and honey, just whatever comes up to eat off of them and eat them. Whatever happens, happens to them. And then, but they're either way, they're going to be left there to die, whether they get eaten alive or not.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
That's the point of it, isn't it?
But if you leave me here, I'll die. That's why you're here. But I'll die. That's why you're here.
We know.
But I'll die.
Yeah.
It's like, how many times can I do this before he lets me out or just kills me? So when did all this start? Well, for that, we go to the only actual recorded story of scaphism.
This one.
The death. Here, watch.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot longer video than you thought it was going to be. The death of Mithridates. So the specifics of story are... Well, Dan, I'll get to it in a second. He was one of those guys going, but I'll die.
So where geographically? That's what I'm saying.
So the specifics of this story, kind of up in the air. Some stories say that Mithridates was a general in the Persian army. Some say he was just a soldier with really unfortunate aim. But the one that I think is the most interesting is the version where Mithridates is a heel. Oh, not a heel, a hero. Why would he's a wrestler. He's a wrestler, and he's going to take on the baby face. It's John Cena coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, he just walks up to the tree trunk and
starts hitting it with a chair. Now, Mithridates is a hero that is then betrayed by his king. So the story goes like this. Cyrus the Younger, the little brother of Artaxerxes II, king of the Persians, took up arms against his brother to take the throne. Now, during the Battle of Cunaxa, according to Plutarch's Life of Artaxerxes, Persian soldier... Yeah, that's like the type of name that you make up when you want it to sound alien name.
Yeah, like in the sort of cartoon, like with your background, like Plutarch. It's like something from Rick and Morty or something.
Oh my God, it's Plutarch. I am Plutarch. Like, it should be like it's one of the races from Lost in Space. I am the Plutarch.
Yeah.
Anyway, according to Plutarch, Mithridates, a young Persian soldier named Mithridates, unknowingly struck Cyrus the Younger with a javelin. Plutarch was a Greek philosopher, historian, biographer, essayist, and priest at the Temple of Apollo in Delphi. Anyway, Cyrus apparently fell from his horse and was... this is like the stupidest fucking story. I have it written down, but...
but I didn't want to, you know, ruin your life.
I want to be rude and tell you that this is horrible. It's kind of horrible. So they're in this battle, and Mithridates throws a javelin, which was a weapon back in the day, not just a stick that you threw in the Olympics and you look funny while doing it.
Imagine walking. That's the reason why they did the fucking, what you call this, the scaphism to him, because they saw him walk like this before he threw it.
Well, what are you doing, Papa Bande? It's a key opponent about throwing a javelin. Make sure your front arm is sticking out and just wobbly as possible. Ooh. Lip that wrist more, goddammit. But anyway, Mithridates throws a javelin, hits Cyrus the Younger, but apparently just wounds him and he falls off his horse. And they come to grab him, they pick him up, they're like, oh, you're all right, you're all right, you're all right. And then some, I guess, eunuchs for Ataraxes comes and, like, hits him with a dart in the back of the knee, which causes his leg to give out. And then he falls and hits his head on a rock, and that's what kills him. What?
That's just ridiculous. I mean,
so whatever weird shit. Okay.
Why did you? Why did he? Why would you do that? He saw his opportunity. Like, he's like, that was my chance.
Hey, a rock. Boom. They come up with like the weirdest ways of killing people in these stories. I don't know if that's actually how it happened. But that's what it says in Plutarch's little, you know, story. That's how he says Cyrus the Younger died, which you could have given him a better death, I suppose, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, he could have gone down wrestling a lion or something, like, you know.
Yeah, no shit. John Cena!
Yeah.
Out of nowhere with the chair. Well, Mithridates had stopped Cyrus from overthrowing the king, and Ataraxes was grateful. But he demanded Mithridates keep it a secret and tell others that it was actually he who had slain his brother. Well, apparently, Mithridates, much like others, can get a little boastful when had too much to drink. And when the king heard of this, him going around in a bar telling everybody that it was him who killed Cyrus the Younger, not the king, he decided to sentence him to die by scaphism for his treachery and demand that he perish slowly.
Well, kind of a... talking shit.
Overreaction, I think, but...
I'm assuming they actually thought he did kill him. I'm assuming, like, did your man who did whatever his name is that threw the javelin actually think he killed
Mithridates?
Bipopompes.
He knew that he had hit Cyrus the Younger with the javelin. I'm guessing he probably assumed that when that happened, he died, and not the stupidest way possible after that.
Yeah. It's just some eunuch doing that thing that everybody used to do when we were younger, and they hit the back of your knee. So you
kick the back of their knee. Yeah. I was just about to say that.
He's just doing that. He's just
that. They could hit their head on a rock. Well, don't you remember when you were in like fourth grade and you do that and you'd do that to people and your teacher would be like, they might hit their head on a rock. Have I ever told you the story of Cyrus the Younger?
Bipopontes and his javelin thrower.
Do you want to be scaphismed? to a
I'll send you down trigger. To home economics room. We got plenty of milk and honey down there. Go.
Send you down to wood shop. Get working on that boat right now. Yeah, yeah. We might have a hollowed out tree in the back. Who knows? Now, Mithridates would endure the punishment for 17 days until, quote, when the man is manifestly dead, the uppermost boat taken off, they find his flesh devoured and swarms of such noisome creatures preying upon and, as it were, growing to his inwards. Pretty much he was filled with a bunch of creepy
crawling
shit.
Bugs and shit, yeah. Growing to his inwards.
But here's the issue. This supposedly happened in 401 BCE, Persia. Plutarch was a Greek philosopher in the 1st and 2nd century AD.
Damn, so, he was old.
You know, about 1,400 years or so. Or no, not 14, 600 years, 500 years, something like that between them. So
it was all a big scam by Plutarch to sell more of his schismbosoms or whatever that he was to be selling. That's all it is. Welcome to Plutarch's Schismbosom Emporium.
Plutarch's Schismbosom Emporium. What is a schismbosom?
I don't know. To make the schleim.
You have one right there. And he had gotten the story from Ctesias, a Greek physician and historian. Now, Ctesias' credibility is, however, questionable due to his reputation for fanciful and exaggerated narratives. There's also a chance that Scaphism never actually existed and that Plutarch simply made it all up in order to make the Persians look bad. Which we've heard that story before.
It's just some guy went on a milk and honey bender and shot himself to death. Thought they'd make him sound cool.
Yeah. Fell asleep in his boat.
Yeah. He actually threw a javelin at a Cyrus the Virus there, and he.
Cyrus the Virus. Back in the Matrix, I threw a javelin. I know Kung Fu. It was Keanu Reeves the whole time.
Put the honey in the box.
Now, there is also an ancient Greek torture known as Kyphonism, in which a prisoner would be put in a type of pillory, which we haven't covered yet, but we will. But the person's face would be covered in honey and left to be exposed to flies, bees, and wasps. Explained in the Suda, a medieval Byzantine lexicon, quote, if someone be so bold and pay no heed to what is in the law, let him be bound to the pillory, or the kyphon, next to the town hall for 20 days, doused in honey, naked, and in milk, so that he may be dinner for bees and flies. And when the time has passed, this part gets weird, just so you know. And when this part gets weird, up until now, it's been all fine.
It's all been above board.
This part gets weird. And when the time has passed, that he be pushed off a cliff, wrapping him in women's robes.
The bastards. Before they pushed him or after they pushed him? Yeah.
It doesn't.
It's just
it
two of them going down
say.
With him, kind of wrapping him up as they're going.
He's dead now. Now we dress him up like a lady. It doesn't make any sense. It's like some people are sitting there, they're looking out the window of the bar, and there's just some guy in a pillory next to town hall. And he's like, you know what would be funny? If we told him, like, oh, you're good. You served your sentence. And we take him some clothes. And he's like, well, these are women's clothes. And we put them in him anyway. And then we just throw him off a cliff.
Sounds like
and then everybody,
party.
Everybody at the table drinking beers are like, dude, that would be awesome.
Then you have that one guy who wants to be the first one to try it.
Yeah. Do it to me first. Let's see how it goes. Let's see how it works.
I got the perfect dress at home. Let's go.
Oh, he's just thinking, this is my chance.
Yeah.
This is my chance. It seemed that this punishment actually did exist. The accusation of it still being used in certain parts of Asia, on the other hand, have no proof to them. There are people that claim that parts of Asia, they still do this. There is, however. It
sounds foreign and exotic.
Foreign and exotic and dangerous. Yeah. There is no evidence, however, that they still do this kind of thing in parts of Asia or anywhere else. So
yeah, it was done in Vietnam. During the Vietnam War, the head up out of the ground one with the stuff on it, wasn't it?
It's a possibility. Yeah. We didn't cover it. It was one of the traps that we covered.
Maybe it was in a movie. But, you know, TV wouldn't lie. So
it either happened in real life or not in real life. I can't remember which.
Well, either way, I wasn't there, so I can't confirm. You know, so. So if it happened in real life or not, it ain't from my memory, so.
Oh, anyway, Dan, any pop culture? That's, I told you it's going to be short and sweet. We don't have a whole lot for it.
Yeah, so it's actually referred to in a few things. Shakespeare's Winter's Tale.
Mm-hmm.
There is a whole thing to do with that there. It says, hot infusion, then raw as he is. That's literally in lines from it. I don't know what this is. H. Rider Haggard's Ancient Allen.
No idea.
I'm assuming is that a book? I'll tell you now, but apparently the protagonist lives many lives and they experience it in one of their many lives.
That would suck.
Yeah. It's in a couple of different things as well. Like there's the Venture Bros episode. There's in the TV show Instinct. It's in that. Actually, is Instinct a show I'm thinking of? I don't know. Anyway. Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. Blind Boy Boat Clubs. Something or other.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few things like that, yes. And it's been referred to in a couple of movies and or literary things, and now on the Torture Podcast, just in case anybody didn't know.
And of course,
that's one place.
The Taylor Swift song, "You Scafismed My Heart."
Oh yeah,
I think that was about John Mayer.
At the time, he ate a load of milk and honey and Shatner.
Yeah. You know, while he's doing that to her, she's like, I'm going to write a song about this, just so you know.
Yeah. And he's doing his funky guitar solo faces while he's doing it. He's like, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. Milk and honey.
Yeah.
Thank you to our patrons, Willow Quinn Fowler, Nevin, Sam, and Max. You can sign up for our Patreon as well, patreon.com/torchpod. First, 1 week of culture tier. Cult leader tier is free. Connect with us on all the socials at TorturePod. Email torturepod@gmail.com. buymeacoffee.com/torturepod to donate. redbubble.com/people/torturepod for the merch. All Pride merch profits donated to the Trevor Project. Go rate and review wherever you can. Also, thank you to our sponsors. You can support us by supporting them. Hint for our next episode, just keep your head up. No, really, you're going to want to keep your head up. It's going to hurt if you don't.
I know what it is. I think. I'm probably wrong.
All I heard was, I know what it is. Dan, word of wisdom.
I've a whole sentence of wisdom here. Hallways in psychiatric wards shouldn't be called hallways. They should be called psychopaths.
Fair.
stick.
I like that one.
Oh, well, there you go. That was a good one. All right, well, thank everybody for listening to the 4 hours of Attica. And hopefully you appreciate the smaller episode this week. Probably having a smaller episode next time, too. And yeah, we'll see where we go from there. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. We'll see you.
Let's play Hungry Hungry Hippos.
He eats the marbles.
Today's episode is brought to you by PodUp.com.
Let's be honest, whether you want to admit it or not, you've probably thought at some point to start a podcast. I mean, podcasts are fun. Podcasts are fun. You and I have a good time on here, Dan.
Some of the just get on, talk junk.
Yeah. I mean, it's some dark content. What we're talking about isn't necessarily fun, but we're making fun. We have a good time, and we would never even met each other if it weren't for podcasts. So
that's true. Podcasts and Canadians.
You can podcast and Canadians. Little D&D thrown in there. I mean, change your life.
Well, there are about 5 million podcasts out there, and around 90% of those stop after just 3 episodes. That's including about 1.8 million that stop before they even start, which we know a thing or two about that, to be fair.
Yeah, we do, unfortunately.
Quite a few still on the drawing room floor.
And of those that do get started and pass that 3-episode mark, about 90% of those don't get past 20 episodes. There's a reason. Podcasting is hard. Well, successful podcasting is hard.
Yeah, it's not just sitting in front of a microphone and talking for an hour. You know, sometimes that's what it is for me. It's recording, audio editing, video editing, social media, promotion, blah, blah, blah. All the stuff that Kevin does.
And I do. And finding and paying for all that software to use can be just as big of a headache, not to mention expensive.
Well, with PodUp, you can have a one-stop shop for everything you need to take your podcast to the next level.
35 powerful modules with AI integration and one software, you can create, publish, grow, monetize, and manage your podcast with a simple, easy-to-use interface.
Everything from a site builder and recorder to editing for video and audio, live streams, blogs, and transcriptions.
Legal, newsletters, SEO.
Setting up shops, getting ads and sponsorships.
Managing your workflow, files, and even backing up your content.
Set up an account today and get 14 days free. And even schedule a demo with one of PodUp's podcasting experts to see how to start producing and monetizing your very own podcast.
And when you're ready, use our exclusive coupon code TORTURE15 for 15% off whichever package you decide to go with.
And if you're a professional that's even too busy for that, go to podallies.com.
Yeah, their done-for-you podcast production and marketing service will take care of the dirty work for you.
Dirty. We're talking websites, social media, editing work, SEO, all done for you. So you can just focus on being the star of the show, like me, and getting on with your day, unlike Kevin, who has to do all the work.
That's why everybody comes, is for Dan. And this team of experts will use PodUp software to put your podcast on the map where it belongs. See, just they're using PodUp software. It's all one big circle. It's coming all, it's always coming back around.
Like an opposite of a square.
That's right.
So, go to podup.com and podallies.com and use our coupon TORTURE15 for 15% off. That's TORTURE15 for 15% off.
Podup.com, the ultimate podcasting platform.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. so you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.